Lesson number 8, we are born again. We've hinted at this state several times during the lessons this quarter. This week we are to consider the new birth in some detail. When Jesus declared to the teacher, Ho Didaskalos, he was the master of Israel, the theological truth that for a human being to enter the kingdom of heaven, he must be born from above, born again. This teacher queried, how can a man be born when he's an old man? He is the product of all the yesterdays. He is the product of all the habits and the thought patterns of maybe half a century or more. How can he reverse all this? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb? Well, of course, he cannot enter into his mother's womb. But he can enter into the womb of the morning and allow the light of the knowledge of the glory of God to transform, to irradiate. He must be born again, or he'll never make the kingdom of heaven. Part number one. Jesus answered and said, except a man be born again. The word except means that there is no alternative. Every human being must go through the portals of the new birth, or he will never make the kingdom of God. Now this word except underlines the urgency. The urgency. He won't even be able to see the kingdom of God unless he allows the new birth to take place. Now what is this new birth? The new birth means a new heart, that is new feelings, new mind, new thoughts, new life, new physical activities, a new total being. As Ellen White says, to have a change of heart is to withdraw, this is my choice, the affections from the world. I choose not to love those things I loved before. For instance, I might have loved horse racing. I choose to turn away my affections from it. I sublimate them. I move them from an earthly object of regard to the divine objects. I am willing to do his will, so I know the teachings of Jesus Christ. I know what he wants me to do. And so I deliberately turn the mind, my affections, away from the things of the earth to the things of God. I know that I am a servant of sin. Now I choose to be a servant of Jesus Christ. Now Jesus further said, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now there is a sense in which this water is a symbol of the Spirit. The and there can be explanatory. Except a man be born of water, that is to say of the Spirit. Now this water-spirit regeneration is mentioned by Paul in his allusions to the laver of the Old Testament. He is talking to Titus, and he tells Titus that there is something in his life and character that he must gain, or else he'll perish. Not by works, Titus 3 verse 5, of righteousness which we have, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration, that is to say, the renewing of the Holy Ghost. And the word washing is the Old Testament word laver. And so when Jesus talked about the water, the laver, that is to say of the Spirit, the washing of regeneration, of restoration, is the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Water is a symbol of the Holy Ghost in some ways. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit. And so when a man is born of the water, the cleansing effect of the water on the physical being is a type and symbol of the cleansing, regenerating power of the Holy Spirit in the human will and personality. The water also looks through the laver of the sanctuary to baptism. And baptism is the answer of good conscience toward God. It is the declaration on the part of the sinner that he is giving the response that God wants him to give. Well, Nicodemus was still full of doubts. He couldn't understand this. And so Jesus used another illustration. He invited Nicodemus to listen to the wind. Part number three. You can hear it, he told the teacher, but you can't see it. You don't know where it comes from, you don't know where it's going, but you can see its effect. Sometimes the effect is just to rustle the leaves. Sometimes it comes with strong force and carries the ships across the oceans. Sometimes it comes like a gale and destroys. It's known by its effect. And Jesus is saying, don't worry about the house. He said, how shall this be? Don't worry about the house. Don't worry about the methodology. You don't worry as to how the wind comes. You don't worry as to where the wind comes from. You're not disturbed by the thought as to where it's going. You just put your sail up and you go on life's journey. And so with the changing power of the Holy Spirit, don't worry about where he comes, how he comes, when he comes. When you feel his cooling, impelling force in your life, set the sail, yield. He will carry you right to the kingdom of God. Part number four. Nicodemus evidently was still concerned. And so Jesus Christ reminded him of an Old Testament illustration. Look and live, as illustrated by the brazen serpent. The adders crowded the wilderness, but the protection of God saved the people of Israel. When Israel sinned, God's protection was removed, and the snakes that were there already bit many of them, and they were tending to die. And Moses asked the Lord what he should do, and the Lord said, make a serpent of bronze, and raise it up on a pole, and tell the people, whoever look will be saved. Nicodemus realized that there was no medicinal value, no magical value in a lifeless bronze serpent. But there was life in a faith-filled compliance with the divine requirement. Look and live. The people well knew that the serpent had no power. But they knew that the promise of God was all-powerful. They realized that they could do nothing for themselves. They were dying of snake venom. And then they showed their trust and their desire to live by accepting God's gift of life. They looked, they lived. They accepted the divine provision. There was no scientific basis. There was no reasonable basis why a look should heal. But the look was the antitoxin, and a look to Calvary is the antitoxin of sin. Part number five, believing and deliverance. As we have seen in the case of the serpent, their belief in the power of God to do what he promised had the result. And he that believes need no longer be condemned. The world is condemned already. The believer moves from condemnation to vindication. He does not need to be condemned anymore. He accepts the gift. We accept the gift of repentance. We accept the gift of faith. We accept the gift of pardon. We accept the gift of restoration. Our only activity is to accept. And faith is stretching out our hands to accept this unspeakable gift or series of gifts through Jesus Christ. Part number six, believing and the Spirit. If any man thirst, let him come. This is my part. I choose to come. Let him come and drink. How do I drink? Drink is a very personal. You try to get a babe to drink something it doesn't want to drink, and it may swallow it, but it'll throw it up. We don't have to drink. This is an act of individual choice. How do I receive? I accept. I say, Lord Jesus, fill me with your Spirit. I'm thirsty. I want to have his power. I want to have his cleansing. I want to have his life-giving, purging, regenerating, directing, illuminating presence in my soul. And so when I choose to accept the divine provision, everything that he has for me floods my soul. Let us choose to be born again.